There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Member Guest Podcast. We have a very special guest in the house tonight, Mr. Matt Ulrich. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, boys. Looking forward to it.
How's everybody doing? What's new?
Not a lot, man. I'm just I'm here. I'm very excited about this chat with Maddie tonight. It's going to be a great one.
Jordan,
good.
Arizona, you just got back.
Yeah, Arizona was nails.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks. I went for my birthday.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm 32 now. So
how was the golf? God,
you're a baby.
I know, dude. Welcome to the club. We're the old guys here at this crew.
Yeah, the big 3-2. Golf was good. Played pretty much the same golf all four rounds. Played with Betsy.
Betsy and Keller.
I believe it's fiance.
Okay.
Might be boyfriend. But they were super cool. Betsy was awesome. Everything is advertised. Great golfer. She tipped it out with us. We were playing, like, the course, Quintero was probably playing 7,400 the day we played. We were, like, dead into the wind.
Mm. And she played from the tips?
Yeah.
Did she beat you?
No.
Did she smash it, though?
Yeah. She's good. Yeah. Wow. She's like, I probably shouldn't be playing from the tips. She probably hits it 250, 260 mm-hmm. off the tee. She gave me so many short game tips.
Yeah.
So good around the greens. So good at putting. It was so long. Like, I'm not joking. It was 7,400 yards.
Yeah. That's a big golf course.
Yeah. It's playing as a huge golf course, but, it was fun. And then I was thinking, like, when I started, did we talk about how I played in the Bob Does Sports tournament?
We talked about it a little bit off air.
But not on the podcast, because I met the guy who does our intro, mm-hmm. Bob Does Sports, had played this tournament in Arizona 2 or 3 weeks ago. Super cool guys. The whole Fat Perez bit is, like, awesome. He's super cool guy.
Yeah.
Bob was, like, huge, man. Like, the dude's, like, 6'4". Like, I don't know why. I just didn't think he was that tall of a guy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
wow.
He's a really tall dude. But super nice, super cool.
Nice.
Cool guys. So I just thought it was kind of... We got to meet everybody that's done our intro. We got to meet John Daly and Bruce Buffer.
So I was talking to my dad earlier today, who is down in Florida, and he was out practicing at the Dye Preserve today, and he saw Denny McCarthy out there. And my dad is a UVA guy. My dad went to UVA, played baseball there, and Denny McCarthy is a UVA guy and a Georgetown Prep kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad goes up and introduces himself, and, you know, McCarthy's like, yeah, you know, I just joined here today.
And like, today is my first day?
Like, today is his first day. And so they start, you know, chatting or whatever, and Denny's like, I'm actually going to go play. Like, you want to come play? And my dad's like, yeah, like, I was just out here practicing, but I'll definitely love to play. I guess this is just, like, what people do in Florida on Wednesdays.
Oh, there's no days down there, no. Man. It's like
they all run together.
Yeah, they all run together. Yeah. They might as well put numbers on them.
Yeah. So so they go play, right? So McCarthy bogeys 18 to shoot 61 today.
Wow.
Just him and my dad.
So we could have birdied for a 59.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. My dad was like, I've just never seen anything like it. Like, because, you know, he's the number one putter on tour statistically. And he was just like, yeah, he just made every single 12 footer for like 18 holes.
Did he miss any shots? Like, those guys never miss shots.
No, I didn't get into the bogey on 18, but, like, I was like, well, did he say that was his career round? And I guess it was, he's maybe shot that before or whatever. But yeah, bogey's 18 to shoot 61.
Like, what's the par?
Par four.
No. Is it par 72, par 71?
I think it's par 72.
I was going to say, that's
check the book.
It's taking it deep.
Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool.
So, that's really cool.
Yeah. Matt, welcome to the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you.
Yeah.
So we know Matt through the golf club that we play at. He's one of the guys, one of our favorites. And Matt and I have a little bit in common in that we're both Mid-Atlantic boys.
We are East Coast boy.
Mid-Atlantic Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt is a graduate of Calvert Hall.
Calvert Hall College.
Calvert Hall College.
Calvert Hall College Prep.
Which is really a high school. It's an East Coast thing.
Thank you for the clarification. Yeah.
And has a really cool story that is probably becoming more popular in Minnesota. But Matt was a total stud with a wand in his hand back in the day as a lacrosse player. Went to University of Delaware.
Yep.
Was an All-American.
Yep.
And then played in the relatively early days of Major League Lacrosse.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I'd say so, yeah.
Okay, so let's dig into your story a little bit. Sure. You grew up in Baltimore?
Grew up in Baltimore County. I don't know, 20 minutes outside of Baltimore City.
Yep.
And grew up playing baseball, playing basketball, playing lacrosse. You know, back then, there wasn't specialty like there is now. Like, I've got three kids, two boys who are older, and it's like all these kids are doing one sport year round. I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? And I guess you follow the money, right? Like, if you have money to burn and people are going to have their hand out, like, people are going to pay for it. So, but back then, no, played three sports, went to Calvert Hall, decided at that point lacrosse was going to be my focus. And, you know, I was a decent player in high school, but really hit my stride as I got a little bit older, mm-hmm. grew late, put on weight late, got an opportunity to play at Delaware, and towards the end of my career, just kind of really filled out physically, and, you know, we had a good team. We never made the Final Four, but we had a good team, and then I was lucky enough to be drafted in the MLL, which is the Outdoor League, which now is the PLL, if anyone watches lacrosse out there. They're doing a great job. They're doing awesome with mainstream media. ESPN's got a contract with them. They've got big investors, both on the business side and on the sports side, like a, you know, real professional sports side. So they're doing great. And then I got drafted to play in the NLL, which is the indoor league, which Minnesota used to have a team, the Minnesota Swarm. They played at the XL Center. And it's a hockey rink with boards, and they put turf up, and it's like just total gladiator. It's like,
yeah,
it's like Neanderthal ball
between indoor and outdoor. Like, the field's difference. Smaller too. Yeah.
The field's smaller.
People just get rocked.
Boards are off. There's like no rules, and it's an awesome game. Yeah. And I did really well. And I'm bigger, and I was freaking 30 pounds heavier back then. Right. I was a brick shit house.
Yeah. You were an animal.
A total animal.
Yeah. If you look at pictures of Matt Ulrich online, like in his prime, he's, what are you, 6'3"?
Yeah.
Six what three. Were you like playing, like 230?
I was like 230.
Yeah.
But I could bench press a truck. Yeah. Like, it was, I was just a total meat. Slimmed down a little bit since then. But so I played in those two leagues, and then I was really fortunate enough to play and represent the United States twice, wore the red, white, and blue in 07, and then captained the team in 2011 in the World Indoor Games, which was just, I mean, there's nothing like wearing those three letters on your chest. And then watching the banner go up or listening to the Star Spangled Banner. It was fantastic.
Yeah. And you, growing up, like you're kind of a lunch pail guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like blue collar, like showed up early.
Yeah.
Did all the workouts.
Yeah. Like never the most athletic guy.
Yeah.
But I busted my ass and I found my niche.
Yeah.
You locker room guy?
Locker room guy for sure. Big locker room guy.
We're big locker room guys here.
Yeah. Like,
we're big locker room guys.
Right.
Here.
I mean, there's the guys who perform on the field, there's the guys who perform off the field, and then there's guys who kind of mesh together, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they do it all.
Yeah.
And I was really good at both. I wasn't like extreme at either, but it was, which makes for a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Supportive of the boys.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to be a good locker room
and
guy.
And you were a defenseman, yeah?
No, I was an attackman.
You were an attackman.
I played offense.
You're big for offense, yeah?
I played offense growing up in outdoor. And then when I got drafted to play indoor, this is another fun fact. Most of those guys, at least back then, were Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
So they would grow up playing hockey, which is another fun fact. The national sport of Canada. It's not hockey, it's lacrosse. So they grow up playing hockey and then get to a point where, okay, they're not going to make it in the NHL. They're not going to make high-level hockey, but they also play lacrosse growing up. So most of them would go and play lacrosse and get and play in the NLL. So when I got there, it was like me and my buddy Ryan Boyle, who's a great friend of mine to the day, go out to San Jose, California to this like training camp. Mm-hmm. And it's like Canuck. And then like two little American kids from the East Coast, which just, it was interesting to say the least. But most of those guys are, they're all ex hockey dudes and they stuck me out the back door, meaning I'm going to play defense. Cause I was a brick shit house. Right?
Yeah,
I was huge.
Big guy. Yeah.
So they kind of taught me how to play defense and that's kind of where I made my niche in indoor.
Really?
Yeah.
As a defenseman. And as a defenseman in indoor with a shorter field, like, were you running up the field and scoring too?
Yeah. For sure. Like a transition guy is what they would call it. Like, kind of go out the back, play D, knock it around, and then get the ball up the floor, and then, you know, stay for an offensive shift if you feel it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But I played with, for anyone out there who's listening to play lacrosse, like, Casey Powell is a good friend of mine. He's the only American player to ever win the MVP award in the NLL, given that most are Canadian. And when we played together, I would get him the ball, and I would just go set big picks for him, get him open, and like roll
lunch
the net.
Lunch pail guy,
like totally.
He's grinder.
And you know, most guys would kind of run them down the floor, and then run down the side. They don't want to get whacked. I just run right through the friggin' middle, man. Just like, I'll run through the middle. I'd clear space in case he would come around and he'd do his thing. So,
can you fight in lacrosse?
For sure. Yes.
Were you a fighter? Is our friend Nate Pross, or is there your comfy fighter?
So I know Pross. I was not a fighter, but I will tell you, I was.
How can you be 6'3", 230 and not throw a punch?
Well, so I was 1-1-1. I got in three fights. I was 1-1-1. The one I did
split
win.
Decision.
Yeah, I came off the bench. Some guy was messing with my buddy Ryan, the other American guy. So I came off, ripped his bucket off, and got him a few good times. The other one was a draw. We kind of got helmets and gloves off and just danced around a little bit. Both went to the floor. And the third one was in Buffalo. And the Bandit fans are a little blue collar, if you want to put it that way.
Sure.
Right? Like, as in all NLL games, like the hockey teams, tickets are super expensive. But if you want to take a family to watch a professional sports game, you go to watch the NLL because it's probably half the price. So the the fans have like three or four teeth up there, and so I'm getting into it with this
6'8" beers,
like this big guy, and he rips my helmet off. I'm like, okay, he got my jersey over my head, and then I didn't know what happens. It's like lights out, boom, 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 and I woke up on the floor. I'm like, oh my god, so concussion, and then I look over the stands, and there's like Jack Two Teeth, give me the double bird. I'm like, oh god, to make this even worse, I just got concussed, knocked out. I got Jack Two Teeth, give me the double bird. Yeah, so 1-1-1 Hegel.
All right, that's a good record.
What was
better
the,
than mine?
I think it was like the popular position was like the long stick middie in my day, like the guy who could run the field both ways and
long so flowing hair out the back of the helmet.
Totally.
Yeah,
did you play with Jesse Hubbard at all? I think we've talked about this.
I didn't play with Hubbard. He was a little before me.
Okay.
I played against him in the MLL, but he was he was an attackman too, so never matched up 1-on-1 with him. But he was with the New Jersey Pride for a while.
Yeah.
When I was with the Bayhawks.
I think I
Baltimore.
Told you I went to high school with his little brother.
Yeah, he was a hell of a player, Jesse. I mean, really good. Yeah. One of the all-time greats.
Forgive my ignorance here. Sorry for interrupting, but how many teams are even in the league?
In the NLL now, I believe there's 14. The most recent is the Las Vegas Desert Dogs.
Sick.
And their investment group is Joe Tsai, who's an Alphabet guy behind...
owner of the Nets.
He owns the Nets, and I think he's got a partial ownership of an NFL team, too.
He's bidding right now on the Commanders.
Yes, there you go. Mm-hmm. And then Dustin Johnson is also part of that ownership group, and Wayne Gretzky.
No way.
Yeah,
that's
so they're
really
pumping
cool.
Some like mainstream names and money into that one. And then the PLL is, I want to say there's 8 teams, and they bought the MLL 2 years ago. They were kind of competing leagues, and PLL bought them, and they have Joe Tsai is also a major investor there. Mm. So he was a lacrosse guy at Yale,
oh,
believe it or not. He built all Yale's facilities, which are just spectacular. So he's behind that, and they're like a touring model where they'll go to different cities and play a couple games, but they're on the rise too. So it's in my opinion, the game of lacrosse is in the best place it's ever been professionally.
I mean, I know it's absolutely blowing up here in Minnesota, is it not? I mean,
it is.
It's a huge sport out east, but I think it is spreading to some of these other more Midwestern states, maybe even out west. But talk to us a little bit about, you know, your involvement with lacrosse here in Minnesota.
Sure. No, and you're right. It kind of went from the East Coast, skipped over the Midwest, got pretty big in California.
Yeah.
And then slowly has crept into the middle of America.
People don't appreciate, like, lacrosse where we grew up is like hockey here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's huge. Like, and baseball is like what basketball is here.
Yeah, right.
Season wise.
Right. But my involvement, so I was telling Andy before we started, my schedule now, I'm coaching my boy who's going to be a 12U. I'll coach my boy who's going to be a 10U. And then my daughter is going to be a 6U, which is like, you know, herding cats. But I'll coach all three of them. I'm on the board at C3, our association, and then I head coach our Team Minnesota team for my oldest boy, then assistant coach my youngest boy, both in the Team Minnesota program.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you have the experience in an unexperienced market, you might as well give back to the community and try to develop the game the best we can across the state.
And how is the competition in Minnesota? Obviously, it's not even close really to what it is out east yet, but I mean, by comparison.
Yeah. I think the athletes are comparable for sure, right? It's just a matter of starting them at a younger age and trying to convince some of the hockey parents that are absolutely bonkers that your kid's not going to play in the NHL. Yeah,
exactly.
And if you dedicated half the time, then
you can
go to
Yale and play lacrosse.
You could go play lacrosse. You may get a scholarship, but you can certainly, it can be a big part of their life. Yeah. Whereas, you know, if you're an accomplished hockey player in Minnesota, you probably played high school hockey, right? Because that's how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of parents where I'm like, guys, just take a look the other way, because it's a great crossover sport, man. Like, if hockey is your number one sport, that's fine. But lacrosse can offer so much as well. And maybe at some point you decide, well, you know, hockey is not going to be the future, but I can maybe have an opportunity to play college ball with lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the athletes are certainly comparable. It's just a matter of teaching the game at a younger age.
What? Can I throw out a name real quick?
Yeah.
There's probably like a small chance you would know who this is. Sam Swanson.
I don't.
He was the captain of the Gophers lacrosse team when they were like first starting.
Yeah.
Probably back in 2012, 11. Okay. Is that kind of when like college lacrosse was starting to go,
so
at least here?
It was. A lot of the non-traditional markets will have big colleges, like, you know, like University of Minnesota, that have extra money, and they'll have club teams. So they don't have Division I sanctioned teams, but they'll have enough money within that program or in the athletic department to have a club team. So,
got it.
I mean, I could see, you know, like, for instance, University of Michigan started as a club team. Now they're top 15 in the country, Division I men's lacrosse. So there's no reason why the University of Minnesota can't, you know, follow that same path.
I just remember when it happened, because he was like, yeah, I got captain of the team. And they're like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm captain of the Gopher lacrosse team. We're like, you just weren't going to tell us? Yeah. Kind of.
Right.
And he's Swanee too, by the way. Like, Swanee's golf.
Okay.
That happened. Nice.
On the East Coast, obviously, it's a huge sport,
sure,
right? But what conferences, like, name off a handful of the schools that are, you know, on the upper echelon of that in that world.
Yeah, so you got the Big Ten, so Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Johns Hopkins is now in the Big Ten. You have the ACC, so you've got UVA, University of North Carolina, Duke, Maryland. Maryland's Big Ten now.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland is Big Ten, yep.
Yeah, they're in the Big Ten. The CAA, the Colonial Athletic Association, which is where Delaware is. So Delaware, Hofstra, Villanova. Let's see who else just joined. Stony Brook, University of Massachusetts Amherst. And then some of the teams that are like down south in the which would be like the SEC, I don't think they have a fully sanctioned conference yet, but like there's a couple teams in Florida. Jacksonville's decent. So it's growing, man. It's like,
yeah,
it's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
it really is.
And then the Ivy League schools are really good.
And right. And that's another Ivy League, like up in the New England area. So Cornell, Yale,
Brown's
good.
Princeton's good.
Princeton's really good. Harvard.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I keep telling my son, I'm like, you know, play lacrosse. You're smart. Go to freaking Yale.
Yeah.
Go to Harvard.
Do that.
Quit being a puckhead around here. Yeah, right. Like, go out and let's go.
I feel horrible. My dad would have never been able to mutter any of those words to me.
Go to Yale.
Go to Yale. You're really smart. You got a chance. Just like, keep trying, buddy. You're going to be good at some stuff.
I really want to hear about the, so what year were you drafted into the, what was the league called again? It's the MLL now.
It's
the PLL now.
Right. It was the MLL, Major League.
When you were drafted.
Yeah. 2004.
Yeah. And that was like pretty early into the MLL, right?
Yeah. I think 5 years in.
Okay.
It was 99 was the first year.
When were you taken in the draft?
Fourth round.
Okay.
Out of 6 rounds. So on the bottom half.
Lunch pail guy.
Locker room
but
guy.
Guys are found, man.
A 7-year career?
I flipped it into a pretty good career.
Yeah, really good. Really good career.
My game translated very well. It's like you look at like quarterbacks that come out of these unknown conferences, right? They have an intangible size or skill set that just translates well to that next level. And I was lucky enough to have that with my lacrosse game.
Yeah. And the early days of your early days in professional lacrosse, like what I'm very fascinated by, like what was your living situation? what was your signing bonus?
Oh my God. Our signing bonus. So how can I paint this picture? the salary was enough to maybe cover your expenses at the bar afterwards.
Yeah.
no, it wasn't that bad, but we certainly played for the love of the game. I had to have, most guys have a second job, at least at the time. So you would, I'll give you a typical weekend, right? So when I was living in, it's more fun when I was living in New York. Let's use New York as an example. So when I was living in New York, we would fly out of LaGuardia or JFK, wherever it was. We'd fly into the city on Friday evening, go right to the rink, have like a practice or shoot around, go out with the boys, have a dinner, wake up in the morning, breakfast, shoot around, nap, game, bar, 6 a.m. flight, back to the city in your suit that stunk like hell from being at the bar all night, no sleep, and then turn it right around and go watch football and hang out all day in New York.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And everything was paid for, right? We were treated very well. We just didn't have, you know, the cash, let's put it that way.
Yeah. A lot of guys are doing camps and stuff like that.
Yeah, guys are doing camps. I was lucky enough to have a job with, so I was a sponsored Reebok athlete.
Which
I parlayed into a, they started a lacrosse line at the time, and they needed somebody to go rep lacrosse. So I was, you know, I was an athlete, and I was a sponsored athlete, and I had a little bit of background in sales. So I was like the only specialty rep for Reebok lacrosse for 2 years. So I would just, I would travel on the weekends, go play lacrosse. Then I would get out like Monday or Tuesday and fly around the country and go meet with these specialty retail stores, sell them lacrosse equipment, and then come back and repeat it. It was like the perfect single life.
That's no kidding. Right.
Yeah. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
You guys, are you like missing practice for that or?
Yeah, so we'd practice once a week because a lot of the guys didn't live in the market. Mm-hmm. You know, they would fly in even to home games. Like
really?
A lot of the Canadians wouldn't live in the U.S. They would live in Canada and fly down for the weekend.
Oh, wow.
And it was like full go for those guys, right? Like they're like, it's like pedal to the metal. Let's go get beers the night before the game. Let's get beers, you know, at halftime.
Labatt Blues.
We would wake up in my apartment, man. Like, so it was me and my buddy Brett Wagner from home who didn't play. And then a couple guys who were living in the city that I'm friends with to this day. But I would wake up in the morning on like a Sunday and my floor would be littered with Canadians. like on the couch, on the floor, in the kitchen, like, you know, clothes everywhere. I'm just like, Jesus, what are these guys doing? do they have families? Do they have homes?
Yeah.
They'd miss their flights. They'd figure out how to get back. And it's just like, they would do that every weekend.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
like,
you're mid-20s, right?
You're mid-20s. And you got enough, you have enough money to like, to live and to have fun.
Yeah.
But it was just, I wouldn't change it for the world. It was a lot of fun. Now, if you want to put it in comparison, like if it was the NHL, I probably would have been a $4 million a year guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I would have.
Oh, so you were better than the Batman.
Yeah.
Were,
oh yeah.
Was,
yeah. For
he
sure.
He was like a legit, I mean, it's captain of
Team
USA. Yeah.
Better than the men. I mean, I would hopefully be retired by now.
Yeah.
You know, like I wouldn't have to work anymore, but
yeah.
That, you know, unfortunately just didn't happen.
Lacrosse doesn't quite have that cap.
Yeah. Do you see a future for lacrosse like that? Or
I think so. I mean, people have been talking about that for years, right? It's like, well, it's the first TV deal. It's going to happen. We're going to be the guys who are saying, you know, like the NFL players, oh, well, back in the day when we made peanuts. Well, I said it before, the money and the interest now coming into the game compared to where it was 5 years ago with the Joe Tsais, with the Dustin Johnsons, the Wayne Gretzky's, some of that investment cash, I think it has potential.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll ever be, you know, hockey or basketball or certainly not baseball, but you can make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And the PLL now, they give, they have part equity in the, in the league, which is cool. So a little more incentive to put a good product on the field. And they offer health insurance, which is a big step because when I played, they didn't.
Yeah.
So it's all moving in the right direction. I got to give a shout out to Paul Rabel, too, who's a friend of mine who I played with.
Legend.
Who's, yeah, he was, I was the captain of the Cannons when he was a rookie. I'm like, this guy's got something special, right?
Yeah.
So he's the all-time leading scorer in the MLL, but he has... Well, he started the PLL to challenge the MLL. So him and his brother own and operate the Professional Lacrosse League, which is great. I'm sorry, Premier Lacrosse League, which is awesome.
Yeah, I remember even in high school, like, watching the Paul Rabel, like, stick skills videos, and he just was always doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, he's a total, just a total beast. Yeah.
I could imagine with, like, nowadays with streaming and just the infrastructure and sports, I feel like investments are going to start going towards sports like a – lacrosse, or I don't know, there's probably some other examples out, like bowling, where it's so easy to like put this stuff on TV and people watch a product.
And that's a huge piece too, the streaming aspect and the YouTube and the way the game can organically be pumped out to the masses is huge.
Yeah,
it really is.
Well, the
gamble
Final Four,
on it. I mean, all this. Like,
yeah, and there's even on the PLL games, they're talking about the betting lines before at halftime.
So you can bet on anything, man. Like, if people think
you get some Bovada action on
the
deal.
Well, dude, like, Matt's probably a really good example of, like, when a new sport like this comes out and people haven't bet on it before, that their knowledge of the game isn't very good. Like, somebody that's really knowledgeable of the game and knows players, knows teams,
can get an edge.
Can get an edge.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So can get true. An edge. And so, like, you can say, yeah, dude, imagine if they come out, dude. We're going to have Maddie
on
and
New York Kaloon versus Vegas.
We're going to have some sharp gamblers. But no, like, that's a thing, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
100%.
You can find a market for it anywhere.
Yeah. Well, the Final Four, I mean, look, it's sold out, packed state. Like, people will go absolutely nuts. And the other thing lacrosse is going for it is it's – look, I was a baseball guy growing up, so we all – all my buddies play lacrosse, you know, like, but like
they all got the girls.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's take it easy. Probably true. Yeah, that's probably true. But lacrosse is an exciting game. Like, it's fun to watch.
Yeah,
cool. It's fast. It's physical. Has it become less physical and more technical? That's kind of the trend of most
in hockey. That's definitely the trend.
It's a trend in hockey, but these guys are so damn big now.
Yeah.
And the padding they wear is so little. I don't know how some of them get through a game. Is there, to answer your question, no, the physicality has not stopped.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten even more physical.
Really?
Really?
You can get away with a lot in lacrosse. I mean, just full-on two-hand slashing, and it's part of the game.
Yeah.
But the game itself has taken me to a lot of different places around the country, internationally. A lot of the relationships I have now are through the game of lacrosse, so it's just – it's a special community of guys who have played, And a lot of great relationships have come with from that.
Yeah.
So it's been a really cool ride.
When did you start playing golf? You're a stick too. What's your handicap?
Handicap. Do you know what your low handicap index
Hold on,
is?
I got something on the gin that like
I think they just
the
sent
year
out the
review.
Yeah,
the
year in review.
You've been all the way down to scratch ish, right?
I've been 1.2. So 2.5 was the ending at the end of the year. So
that year in review thing's pretty cool. And it shows you all the different courses that you played and like your best round that you shot and like what your low for the year. It's pretty sweet.
Number of rounds. So I learned how to play golf in La Quinta, California. If you guys remember the skins game back in the day, where it was like the top four money winners on tour would play a skins game for like a pot of like $20 million or something, something stupid.
If I remember right, I think Annika Sorenstam played against like Fred Funk and she outdrove him one time and he had to wear like a skirt or something.
Oh, that's good. But that was always held over Thanksgiving weekend, and my father at the time was working for a independent advertising agency that handled Toyota in all the mid-Atlantic region. And Toyota was a huge sponsor of the skins game. So they would take our whole family out there and we would go out there bono. And my dad would do like, you know, the pro-am stuff and they do all the corporate shit. Well, I can curse, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all the corporate shirt.
Fuck yeah.
And then me and my sister and my mom would kind of hang by the pool. I would go take golf lessons. So that's where I learned how to play golf was in La Quinta, California, PGA West.
Which is awesome.
And I'll tell you, I got to meet two guys at the time, and right now I'm like, holy shit, I met these guys. But back in the day, I was like, oh, who are these guys? I'm sitting there putting at, it was called the Citrus Course at the time. It's something new now, but it was part of that conglomerate of courses out there. I hear this guy going, hey, Matt. I look over. I'm like, who is this guy? He walks over to me. He starts to give me like a putting lesson. It's fucking Lee Trevino.
No way.
Come on.
No way.
Lee Trevino. I swear to God, my dad was playing a pro-am with him on a hole that was adjacent to the putting green. And he sends him over to like, give me a couple looks on my stroke.
He's one of the biggest beauties of all time in the golf world, man.
Yeah, he had like, you know, the pink shirts, the Cadillac shirts and shit. And then
at the time you're like, who the fuck is this
guy? I'm like, who is this guy? And then my dad's like, that's Lee Trevino. So I'm like, oh my God. And then I was, we had some type of like family event out there, and this Acura NSX pulls up to the La Quinta Resort. If you guys remember the NSX back in the day,
that
it was
100%
like,
no,
that thing was hot, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And a couple broads come out the side of the car, and then out of the driver's side steps out this dude with long blonde hair. Who's the hottest guy on tour at the time in the 90s? Who do you think that was?
Long blonde hair. It's got to be Daly.
John Daly. Yeah, John Daly.
Awesome.
And he was hammered. Hammered. So I know you'd mentioned he did something for the podcast.
Did you hear him in the intro? Like, did you hear our kind of song thing in the intro? Yeah. You go, this is John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest
We think
podcast.
He was hammered when he did that.
I did, but...
Not think. We know.
Yeah, so I had this, like, hat, and he scribbled his name on it and walked on. But, like, I remember that pretty distinctly.
That's something you remember, an NSX Rolex.
That's awesome. Did you guys see Johnny's story from... Did you send that to the group chat? There was he sent a group chat, and it was of this kid that plays at Arkansas that you played with, right? And Daly Jr. is in the plays for Arkansas is in like all the videos, and he makes a 3 on a par 5 that was playing like 640.
Oh my!
They took a thing and they were like, "Can anybody make a 3?" And Daly Jr. ends up making it. It's insane to watch.
So he can play too.
He's really talented.
Lil John, LJ.
Lil John.
How did you end up in Minnesota? I don't think we've ever talked about this.
My wife, her family's all from here.
Okay.
So we,
she went to UD, right?
She went to UD. I'll give you a very abridged version because it's a long, drawn out, love strucken saga.
Your story with her is incredible. I think I actually might want to dig into that.
Yeah, we had some discussions.
So. We are starting a second podcast, Love with Andy Thomas.
Oh, no, we're not.
We both went to UD. She was a soccer player. I played lacrosse, obviously. We got together, dated for, up until, I guess it was my first part of my fifth year. I took 5 years to graduate.
You can redshirt in sports. Yeah. It's no big deal.
And then we both got out of school. I went out west to live in San Jose to play lacrosse. She went to New York City. That didn't work, obviously. I got traded to play in New York City from San Jose. So then I moved to New York, and we had never lost touch, but we ended up living like buildings across from each other in New York.
Oh, wow.
How are the serendipitous odds of that?
Right. And at the time I'm like, oh, I'm not getting back together with her. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm doing my thing or whatever. And then kind of the rubber met the road where she's like, okay, we've been doing this song and dance. And at the time it was like 6 years after we had broken up originally, I'm going back to Minnesota, or, you know, we need to figure this thing out. So at the time I'm like, you know what, screw it. We're going to try to make this work. We got back together, and I mean, that's a very short version. There's a lot of interwoven layers of
I've heard it. It's incredible.
We could unpack that, but for the audience, it's
the abridged version will work.
The abridged version will work. So I know we got back together, had two boys in Baltimore, and then we moved out here to be by her family in 2014.
Yeah. I love it here.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
But I mean,
right now is not the best.
Right now it's just dragging. But yeah, you're right, man. Like once the snow melts and the sun's out and the golf course is open, it's like, okay, we'll go.
And I don't miss like traffic and I-95.
Right.
And
right. I agree.
So, on the golf front, you look a lot like Michael Phelps. I just want to say that. Yes. You look a lot like Michael Phelps.
If people are playing bingo at home, they didn't have that on their bingo card for where like this conversation
Maddie,
was about to go. Yeah.
Maddie is a doppelganger of
so
Michael Phelps.
You look like Michael Phelps.
And I'm being from Baltimore, think about that. Like every 4 years in August when you're at the bar and everyone's like, hey, I'm like, no.
Is he from Baltimore?
Yeah
he is. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've been in that position.
So have you had any unique situations where somebody has mistaken you for Michael Phelps?
I've got
objection leading the witness.
Yeah. Good story, right? So 2016, the Ryder Cup was here at Hazeltine, and I had got some tickets from a buddy out east who was in the media business. He got us tickets to the NBC suite hospitality tent, which was, if you know Hazeltine, it's if you're teeing off on two, it's just to the left of two, so you could see the green from one, the tee shot from two. At the time, I think the way they played is hole eight as the par three.
The par three was actually playing as?
No, it was hole 17. 17, yeah. Correct, 17.
Oh, they played eight of 17 during the Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So we got tickets to the NBC hospitality tent, and I was dressed up in head to toe USA gear, like full blazer, red, white and blue shorts. And like, just, you know, I was pretty dialed, looked good. So I'm walking in and it's early in the morning and people are kind of giving me the eye, like, who is that? And I didn't think much of it. And I got to the NBC hospitality tent. And I walk in, and there's like a posse of dudes. I'm like, okay, who's this? And I look over, it's fucking MJ. It's Michael, right? It's the guy. As you guys know, he's a big golf guy. He was like in the ropes during the whole week for the Ryder Cup. So I'm sitting there, and he looks over. He's kind of scoping out the new guys who walked in the tent. And I look at him, I kind of give him a little nod. He gives me a nod back, and he starts smiling. I'm like, holy shit, this guy thinks I'm fucking Phelps.
Is that immediately what you thought in your head?
Yeah, because it happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
So I walk over, and like halfway there, he's like, uh-oh, this isn't Michael
this
Phelps.
Is not Michael Phelps.
So I roll over to him. I'm like, Mike, man, what's going on? He's like, I thought you were. I said, I know you thought who I was. And he was cool. He's like, look, man, we can hang out. I think he was pretty gassed in the first 2 days. This was Saturday. He's like, just no pictures. We can hang out and chat. So I ended up going out on the balcony with him, and we had a cigar. We were drinking, I think we were drinking vodka. And as you can imagine, like this is elevated like 10 feet, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
The whole crowd sees MJ. smoking a cigar. Then they see me next to MJ. They for sure thought it was Michael Phelps.
Like, there is no doubt.
No, there's no doubt. This is Michael Phelps. So they're snapping pictures and shit. I'm like, I'm posing. and we had a few more drinks, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to go the back nine and watch the guys come in. Well, as soon as I hit the ground, people swarm me. And I'm like, I'm half cocked, right? So I'm like,
you're playing up. I'm playing into it.
Fuck it. Yeah. Facebook. Like, I got my arm around you're people. Wearing it. I'm signing autographs.
Kissing babies.
I'm walking by, just like, you know, walking back to the back nine, and it was
fuck it.
So good.
It was a fun experience. Yeah, it was cool. And then to top it all off, I had We had six tickets, and I brought one of my Canadian buddies. He doesn't like golf. I'm like, we're going to go out to the back nine. He's like, yeah, I'll be good here. So I get a picture of him. It's like 2 hours later. It's MJ and his posse. And my drunk Canadian buddy passed out on the couch next to him. I had to call his wife to come pick him up.
Honey, so you're never going to believe what just happened.
There's some content out there.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And then the one other story I want to get into is you also met Tiger.
I did.
Yeah. When was that?
That was 2011. So I'm a huge Tiger fan. I don't know if you guys oh, Tiger
yeah.
guys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're nice. A Tiger podcast.
Yeah, right, good. Mm-hmm. So I was in I was at a bachelor party in West Palm Beach, which is basically a playground built for the rich and famous. And we went to this bar restaurant called Kachina one night, and it was cool. It was like it was a restaurant that turned into a club later on, and we made some friends with the bartenders, and they're like, well, I think it was Thursday night, come back tomorrow night, it'll be fun, there'll be a lot of people here. So we go back, and it's Friday night, and it's early, it's I don't know, maybe 9:30 or something. It's still pretty empty, pretty tame. And I'm sitting there talking to the bartender, and she's like, yeah, you know, I'm glad you guys came back. You know, we have a good crowd tonight, and we have some famous people in the house already. I'm like, oh, really? Like, who? She goes, well, turn around. Tiger Woods is behind you at a table. I'm like, holy shit. Like, Tiger's here, right? So he's sitting there, and he's talking to some dude, I don't know, maybe an agent or a business guy or whatever, some guy with white hair. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm a huge Tiger guy, right? I know he's kind of coming off an injury. He's gone through the whole Elon thing. I got to go say hi to this guy, or I'll never respect myself.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're a Tiger fanboy, you're committed to that.
So I'm like, hey, Michelle, or whatever her name was, I'm like, give me two shots of Jack. So she pours them. I go, boom, boom. I whack back two shots of Jack.
Oh, you just fired both of them just back
to get,
yourself.
I needed to get myself pumped up.
It's like worse than talking to like the hottest girl.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's easy. Yeah. Right? So I walk in the bathroom. I look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, you can do it. You can do it.
You got this.
Just doing the song.
Right. Doing the McConaughey. And so I walk over to the table, and it's him and this guy. I still don't know who he is. And I look at him. I say, hey, Tiger, I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation, but wanted to let you know that I'm a big fan of yours, and I hope you heal up well and get back on the golf course. So, and it could have gone one of two ways. He could have been like, you know, hey, thanks, bud, whatever, move along. He gets up, looks me in the eye, and gives me a firm handshake. He goes, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
He thought you were Michael Phelps.
Shit. Come on, don't ruin my story.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was really good.
But he was totally cordial, really cool, could have been a dick, but was like appreciative. And like an hour and a half later, he was surrounded by broads.
Yeah.
when the club got going, there was women everywhere.
He knew what he was doing.
That's
so, I was at the Medalist like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I just joked on myself. Can we cut that? I was at the Medalist like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I had like no idea whether I was going to see Tiger there or not, but like the whole night before, I just was scheming like exactly what I was going to do if I saw him, like what the game plan was, like everything. Didn't see him, but
yeah, he was cool.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Cool. Yeah. Let's talk golf for a second.
Yeah.
So what do you love about golf? Obviously, the competitive juices, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the competitiveness is great. It's without stressing yourself out physically and, like, getting hurt, it's a great way to keep the mental, you know, the mental competitiveness sharp.
Mm-hmm.
A good friend of mine, and I know you've had Nate on, Chris Prosser is a really good friend of mine. He said to me, golf is a lifestyle. It's a way of life, right? It's not a game. It is, but it's not. It's not something that you should stress too much about, but it's a lifestyle. It's before, it's during, it's after, it's this stuff you guys are doing. It's taking trips. It's just the camaraderie of golf is what I enjoy the most.
Yeah, you know? Like the fellowship aspect of
it. The fellowship and the experiences and the stories. And I love playing well, you know. I'm probably too hard on myself because I don't play nearly as much as I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
And I surely don't practice. Like, I don't practice at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm relying specifically on just whatever God-given talent I have. Like, no lessons, none of that shit.
Yeah.
He's a one.
Yeah. Have you ever had a swing thought or no? It just...
hit the ball. Well, yeah, I got a couple lessons from Luke, but nothing like, you know, nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
My swing is pretty short, so there's not a whole lot of room for a lot of error.
Yeah.
The game of golf is just meeting the people and developing relationships and being competitive. Now, when it's, you know, when we're playing for money or for playing in a match for whatever tournament it is, that's a little different story.
Yeah. No one likes the juice quite like Matty Allred.
Yeah. Like the lifestyle thing, that's all cool when you're just playing a couple rounds. But when it gets down to it, you know, you want to win.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
Shouldn't
be out there if you don't want to win.
Right. Exactly. And if you don't want to win, you want to beat your best score the last time you played.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the rest of it too. You know, it's about the fellowship and the stories and the people and the experiences, and just to go out to a new golf course that you have built up in your mind based on what you've heard or what you've seen and have that deliver times two is an unbelievable feeling. It's tough to match. And like people who don't play golf, they don't really get that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to explain to them, but once if they catch the bug and you're like, hey, do this, this is why, and they get it, then they're like, boom, the light goes off.
I mean, it's hard to explain, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, shout out to Chris Brosser on the whole lifestyle concept, because that is maybe one of the best ways to describe golf. Is like people who are passionate about golf are thinking about golf a lot,
right?
And you know, look at us. We're all at the same course. We're all friends, and it's just one of many of the folks that are at our club that are the camaraderie that we all have is it's indescribable. It's who have become some of my closest friends, and we all spend a lot of time with each other, and that's because of the lifestyle of golf, and it's just one of the best things ever, I think. So
yeah, and even our spouses and you know, significant others kind of have gotten into it. They see how the game has brought us together and close, and like the friendship. So they're like, well, we're all in too.
100%.
I want to have fun. It doesn't have to be have fun on the golf course with you, but I want to be like involved afterwards. I want to have dinners. I want to meet the other wives, and like that's just that helps as you guys. It just helps everything, right?
Yeah. Totally. I don't know. Like the outlet is just massive. Just having a competitive outlet and also just, something to do. What's your favorite course you played?
Wow. Like my favorite course I've played. I kind of give you like four or five.
Sure.
Royal Dornoch in Scotland was awesome.
Do you play there or no?
Yes, you did.
Dornoch was awesome.
Unbelievable.
Just like walking through the town with a bag on your back.
Yeah.
Passing the jail and passing the whiskey house, making a left, and like all of a sudden you see the sea and the score and the scoreboard, and that was cool. Double Eagle Club in Galena, Ohio is an awesome little, very private, very exclusive club with like 55 local members.
Wow.
Hmm.
Oakmont for sure, Shinnecock for sure. Muirfield Village is up there, and then if I have to throw a public track in there, the Black at Bethpage.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to live in New York City, I'd go out there all the time.
Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That track is so cool.
Yeah, Yeah. Royal Dornoch is awesome. And you've got, you're going to Ireland this year too. Yeah.
We're going to Ireland. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you playing over there? Do you know yet? Or
yeah. In no particular order, Tray Lee, Dunbeg, Old Head, Waterville,
Ballybunion,
and there's one more. I forget.
That's going to be incredible.
That's going to be an amazing trip.
Having been to Scotland, are you like a links guy?
I like playing golf by the water. I love being by the sea. So, I mean, just naturally, I think that kind of lines up with more links style.
Yeah.
But the other course in Scotland was Trump's place.
Yeah, Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that place, and it was cold, sideways rain, the one bad day we had. But I can just imagine that on a bluebird day.
Mm-hmm.
And the dunes are 100 feet high. You can walk, I think you can walk every hole on that golf course and not see another hole at all.
Wow.
That's how much dirt they moved around.
It was maniacal when we played it. Like the 18th hole, I hit driver, three wood.
Was it bluebird day? Was it weather good?
It was blowing.
But you could see everything.
You could see everything. Yeah. Dude,
I mean, that property is just unreal.
Yeah, it's crazy. But that I thought it was really hard.
Yeah. It would, in talking with the caddies and the guys there, like they could host a major, definitely a tour stop.
Yeah.
If it wasn't him.
Yeah. 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 The golf course is amazing though.
Yep. It was cool.
We have some questions from the gallery that I don't think some of these are appropriate.
Is this our first week with call-in questions?
Tony's been working magic over here.
A former guest of the pod. Oh, many geez. Of you may know.
Who is it? I can probably tell you what the questions are.
Huh?
Is it audio?
No, it's texted here to us. You have it on your phone too. They're from our friend Jamie Rue.
Oh boy. There we go.
Maddie might not be on there. I don't know if any of these are good questions to quite ask. So we'll
ask the second one.
Where do the best crab cakes come from?
The best crab cakes?
Yeah.
G&M crab cakes.
Mm.
All right. Or Jimmy's Seafood, one of the two.
Yeah, we'll cut it off there.
That's the only one I can answer?
Do you put the potato the in the front or the back?
Oh, God bless Jamie.
I will go with this. Between now and the summer, what do you have any golf planned? I mean, we're in a dead period here for youth sports, right?
We are. I would typically try to get out and go somewhere, and I still may, but with Ireland looming in August, it's going to be a tough sell to get out for another
long weekend or something.
But we are going to Florida to see my parents in March.
What part?
Fort Myers.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do your kids play golf at all?
Yeah. The oldest one does. we got him in this, what the heck's the name? Dahlgren? Yeah. They do like a Monday where they have junior golf and you can go in there with your buddies and play. So we're going to do that with him. And he's got three or four other buddies that'll rotate through. They'll play every Monday. He needs some lessons, but he loves it.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, your Baltimore accent came out there.
Did it?
What did you call it? You like the Dahlgren?
The Dahlgren?
The Dahlgren?
Some water?
The long O's? Yeah. Yeah.
O's.
I was telling my neighbor, I'm like, we got a dog. She goes, you got a what? We got a dog.
Yeah.
She goes,
dog? Dude.
Like, a dog.
Dog. Matt, I have to tell, before we wrap the podcast, an epic dog story about Ulrich. So, and I'm also going to burn my brother in this story too on the podcast. Jesse, I love you. So we're sitting, I think it was the Derby party last year.
It was the Derby
party. So Ulrich and his wife are sitting next to me and my wife. And we start to somehow the table's talking about like dogs. And I was telling a story about my brother who has this dog. And
you're saying it like that now too.
Yeah. He has a dog. And it's you know, when they got it as a puppy, they're like, yeah, it's an F1B Golden Doodle, like purebred, like 100%, like F1B Golden Doodle. Well, you know, hell, like, about a year into that dog's life, like, it was pretty clear it was not an F1B Golden Doodle. Like, I'm pretty sure they got fleeced by some breeder. So I'm, like, showing the picture of my brother's, like, terrier that's, like, not an – I hope I'm not in trouble for this, but it's not an F1B Golden Doodle. I'm like, look at it. Like, does this look like an F1B Golden Doodle? And Maddie just looks at me out of the corner of his eye, and I see his eye, and he's like, yeah, we have an F1B Golden Doodle. It shows me a picture of his dog, and it looks exactly like my brother's dog.
So did Matt get fleeced?
So, Matt, what kind of dog do you have?
Oh, Romeo, I love you, kid. I don't know, man. Maybe you're just a mutt. Maybe you're a terrier. We were told you were an F1B.
That was my favorite story.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I felt like such an ass. Anyway, dude, thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me.
This was awesome. This was great. We'll do it again. Good to bring a little, grow the game of lacrosse too, hopefully, to our listeners, and obviously talk about golf and your connection to golf, and this has been awesome.
Yeah, Minnesota, cool. Minnesota parents get your kids out for lacrosse.
Absolutely. That's right. Tell your global audience, put a stick in their hands, right?
There you go.
Yeah, your kid's not going to play in the NHL, so.
Right, exactly.
All right, thanks, Maddie.
Thanks for having me, boys. Thanks, appreciate it.
Thanks. Yep.